anyway. I want to talk about don't make peace with what you've lost. Don't make peace with what you've lost. This passage that we're going to look at this morning is not just a story. It is real as every circumstance that we face at the moment and everything that we're going through at the moment. There's no difference. The woman and her child have no name. It's not about tracking her genealogy or a husband, because she did have a husband at one stage, or a child's genealogy. Nothing to do with that. It's about understanding and seeing what happens in the story and catching it in her spirit. I want to say too that we often need to repent of familiarity, because we read scripture, we hear scripture, we've been in church, we've been around church, we've seen a lot, we've heard a lot, and because of that, we get familiar sometimes with God, with what he's doing and what he's saying. And it's like, yeah, heard that. Like we heard some stuff there this morning. We actually need to respond to some of that. God's doing not just some restoration, he's doing some, what was the word?
Renovating.
You know, and then hearing Mark's story, you know. I still got this picture when I was doing children's church, you know, and it just come with one of the lessons I was doing of a telephone. The cord just comes down from the top of the picture. There's a phone sitting there, and it's just all these notes, you know, that people leave messages. It's like, I rung, but you weren't at home. I rung again, but you weren't available. I rung, but, you know, I've left you a message. Da, da, da. It's got all these wee notes there. And God's actually wanting us to connect with him, to pick up the phone, like Mark said. Pick up the phone. It's like I'm listening, trying to talk to you. You know, and you've heard me say this before. We need to stop serving and start listening. Stop serving and start listening, you know, because we get busy and we tell everybody what we're doing. But if you ask people or ask us a lot of often time, what's God saying? We don't know. People come to me always asking, you know, what's God's will and purpose for my life? You know, don't understand this, da, da, da. It's like, well, stop doing some things and start listening. You know, because it's better to do less but actually do what you're asked than to be busying yourself, like Martha, doing stuff that doesn't really matter. So we can get familiar, and we don't want to get familiar with what God says. We need to catch what Scripture says with our spirit, not with our head. We need to catch it with our spirit. Don't look at all this and say, oh, yes, this will work. You know, how can I apply this? Like, just sit back and catch it in your spirit. Meditate on it and just think, yeah, I need that in my life. I need that in my life. The circumstances that are around you will give you opportunity to exercise faith and to grow in different things if you look at them from the right perspective. How would this woman handle the situation I'm in now? We don't want to get locked into the same old routine. A question, how many of us plan or think about being instrumental in doing something supernatural for God this week coming? How many of us each week we're coming, we're actually planning in our week for God to do something supernatural through us, to actually minister into people's hearts and know people's lives. You know, we've got to go looking for this. You know, sometimes we don't want to do things. You know, I've talked to you about the golf club. You know, it's just like I broke out on a rash. I don't want to be down there when they ask me. It's like, man, I struggled with it. But when God says to me very clearly, Wayne, it's where I want you. It's like, okay, I'll go there. I don't know how I'm going to do all this, Lord, because this is just going to be too busy. You know, but the things that have happened, I think I spoke to you about the spiders and some of all that stuff. And because those demonic things have place in that club, and I've encountered them in there at different times at night, I didn't start praying about them, trying to bind them, because they have a right to be there. What I did is I just strategically just went about praising and honoring every person in the club and writing everything up on the board and getting them to praise and to honor and to be honest. And then one by one, I addressed people who were manipulating and controlling, and some people even asked to meet with me, and we met with the coffee things, and they said, you know, I've wrote this email, which is unprofessional. I've called this person a swear word. You know, what am I going to do? I said, well, it's not that you're a bad person, but yeah, you shouldn't do that. Well, you are picking up this person's offense. You don't need to pick up that person's offense. You know, and I've been processing all of these things through people, you know. Now, you know, and the club has totally changed. I get people who ring me up and say, Wayne, we've never had anybody leading this club like this before. leadership. It's strong. It's whatever. It's like you're just doing an amazing job. I have the patron, who's the person who oversees everything. He is the actual person. He just says, this club is in a really good place. Some of them come along just to do lots of at me because I can't pronounce people's names properly. You know, I try and, you know, I mean, I do lots of things wrong. You know, it's not about it, but it's just like, but let's just have fun. You see, and right, we're going to this, so let's all go to this. Like, next weekend, we're all going to Evandale. It's like, well, let's all go to Evandale. Well, the whole club's going to go to Evandale. It's like, you couldn't have got that in a month of Sundays if you had tried. It's just like, yeah. It's like, let's go and have some fun, you see. But then on the back of that, there's some things going wrong, you know. And I ring up this guy, I say, oh, I can't make it. Why can't you make it? Oh, well, my wife's not too good. It's like, what's wrong with your wife? You know, I named his name. She said, well, I think she's eating something and she's whatever, and her breathing's all whatever. It's just like, I need to come and pray for your wife. He says, actually, you need to pray for me too. I said, well, I can do that. Let's do that. This man came into golf even yesterday, you know, and I said, oh, you're not away over the West Coast because they have a big tournament. They go and they booze up, you see, big booze up. And I know this guy drinks hard and whatever, and he's a construction worker, whatever, does a lot of concrete and whatever. And I said, what's going on? He says, oh, no, I just got some issues going on. I said, tell me about your issues. And he said, oh, I've got this lump on my neck. I said, is it cancer? He says, yes. I says, is it? What sort of cancer is it? He said, oh, I don't know. He said, they've done all these scans and whatever, and it was in my throat, but they can't find it. They said, it's moved from my throat, whatever. And then I've got other things down there. And I said, is that prostate? He said, oh, yeah. They said, there's a hot spot down there, whatever. And it's just like, you need to pray for you. You know, I don't care about that. Other people are listening. Oh, it's not about you. It's about God up there, isn't it? Someone says or whatever. And it's like, and I just kept saying, I'd say his name. I says, I'm here. You need me to pray for you. It's like, you know, I've seen God do miracles and whatever. I said, it's like, you need God, you know. And so he's not a God person. He's far away from it, you know. But it's like, I'm here and you need God. You know, and so we left it, but I've talked to him 4 or 5 times. It's like, I'm here. And he said, well, we'll see how this goes. I said, well, we'll just believe that it's not, you know, a thing that's traveling all through your body and that the prostate comes back as negative and whatever else. And because everything else that was in his throat's all negative, but it's just like, we've got to do this. We've got to make a difference where we are. I'm serious. It's like, make a difference about where we are. And I'm seeing, it's just like, I understand, God, now what you're doing. You know, sometimes the thing that we don't want to do, we need to actually do it because God's putting us there. And whether it creates a lot of pressure and different things, you know, and runs you around a bit or not, you know, and then Nikki, they run something. I said, Nikki, can you come down and help run this whole tournament? You come down there. Well, they loved Nikki. They loved her. And she served with these old fuddies on the, in the, shouldn't say these sort of words, doing sausages and that, and they loved her. And she said, these are just really nice people. You know, and some people say to them, not here, they're a bit, you know, they're starting to get a wee bit senile and whatever. And Nikki says, they're not. They're just lovely people. And so I says, you know, Nikki's worked with all these people, and she just says, these guys are lovely people, you know. And so she got this big thank you thing. It's just like, well, we really appreciate what you did. And everybody that was coming around, she would go out and greet them, give them a drink, give them a sausage and whatever, and tell them how amazing. She's not even part of the golf club. She loved it. She did. And they weren't just people from our club. It was a big tournament. It was what they call a machinery tournament, raise mega bucks and that. And she just come down, and she was just lovely to every person. And they just love a person coming out and fluffing over, a woman coming out and fluffing over them, especially the men, fluffing over them, carrying on. And she loved it. And she looked like she loved it. She was happy and having the time of her life, you see. That flows on. But if you don't make room for some of these things, like, because I don't get to do a lot of community. My stuff's around church, you know, so I've got to venture out to do some things. And there is some other things that I'm bumping into. But I'm just saying this because it's like, you actually got to get involved in some things, you know. So I've dragged this team together now. I've put a committee together. I shouldn't say me, but I have. In the golf club, you know, of some young guys and that, and they're just really keen to do things. It's like, you've got this amazing team now. It's just an amazing team, you know. And then we got this invite to go and play at some oldest golf course just about New Zealand. I don't know what all this is. They call it the Christchurch Golf Club. I think it might be Shirley or somewhere. I don't know where it is. And it's just like, and so the club's paid all this money, you see. So I've taken three guys with me. It's four of us. Only four of us allowed to go and play for this special cup. So we're going to go. But I'm honouring the people that have committed themselves to come and work with me on the team, you know, and just go in there. It's just like, we're going to have fun. And then I told them we'll win it while we're in there. But it's like, that's what you need to do. You need to plan in your life, you know, when God brings you into something. So it doesn't always look like what you want, you know, but you've got to talk about, there's needs everywhere. People have needs everywhere. So how many of us do plan that, you know? Or have we already got our week booked up being busy? How is planning something supernatural going to happen around our life this week if we're not planning to make room for it already? You know, some things are just a pain. You know, I'm telling you now, Nikki's got some plans of some things that she would like to do here in Leeston, but she's going to have to get out of some other things that she's running, which means some other people are going to do that, but other people say, oh, I don't know if I want to be tied to that. It's not being tied to something. It's actually recognize, like, I'm having a ball, and I got to go up there again last Monday, at Darfield Mainly Music with the mums. They hug me. They think I'm lovely. Nikki did the weirdest exercises. It was so embarrassing and rude, I might add, the other day. And the ladies were sitting there and they were looking and they're laughing their heads off, and it's like, and they're looking at me feeling sorry for me. But they loved it. They loved it because it's like, she is so being ridiculous and abnormal, you know, and it's like, and they just want that. They just want people to be able to relate, you know, and laugh. And I just get up and I make a hang of a lot of noise. I jump around, I celebrate with the kids, you know, and I get down at the 11. I just have fun and I squeal. I can squeal and make noises and whoop and wallow, and the kids love it, and the mums look up at you, and it just lifts everything, you know, because I get a term a year, you see. And it's just, I says, Nick, I'm really missing this. And anyway, because some stuff happened with Simon and Alison, their wee bubby, and ended up in hospital, it's just like, yes, I get to fill in. No, we're coming. I come. I said, I'll do it. We're coming up. And so it's not actually a chore. If you look at it as a chore, or you can actually look how you can get into it, because these people have got stuff going on in their lives. You know, I didn't even start on my word. I was talking with Glenn Fraser, you know, he's our regional leader, and he said, you know, I'm working really hard at trying to get in to our council and to get in with the mayor, and I'm approaching all these things, and how can we serve you, or whatever. It's just like, can't get in the door. It's just like, as comes along to our meetings, Glenn, to our mainly music and whatever, I said, and we talk about all sorts of stuff and that. And more than that, now his wife offloads to Nikki. She needs someone. And so when Nikki turned up there last week, she said, are you coming up? And she said, oh, yeah. And so the mayor's wife was there, because she's there just about every week. And here they are connecting, and she just needs to talk. And she knows that she can tell Nikki, because Nikki understands all the stuff. So she just offloads all of this stuff. Offloads all the stuff. And I said, we're not even seeking it, Glenn. And we don't run around and say, well, we got the mayor, and he comes and sees us, whatever. It's like, they got stuff. And I says to Nikki a few weeks ago, because Nikki goes up, and sometimes she's just started off, she said, look, because she does massages, the mayor's wife does some massages. Nick said, right, I'll go and get a massage. And so they've just carried on this tradition of talking and sharing and whatever and going through stuff. And I said, you know, I think they need us. They need us to offload and to talk, and we just need to pray with them. It's not about getting them into our church. It's actually recognizing who they are and what they carry, and they need help. Yeah. And so sometimes God just opens up things for you, and we just need to step into that. So we have to make room for God. Anyway, let's start with a verse, or we'll be getting nothing said. 2 Kings chapter 8. Don't make peace with what you've lost. Let's pursue after what is ours. Elisha had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, take your family and move to some other place, for the Lord has called for a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years. The Lord has called a famine. For reasons that we don't always or are not always made known to us, God causes or allows things to happen that don't seem right and they don't seem fair. Sometimes they don't even make any sense. But God's saying through the prophet, so somebody's prophesying. The Lord says, take your family, take everything that belongs to you, her husband's already dead, take your family and go to this place, a place. Upheave everything and go to this place because there's going to be, I am causing a famine in this place. If you stay where you are, you're going to be either die or you're going to struggle horrendously. So you need to move. Sometimes it means that we get messed around, inconvenienced, and we become victims of circumstances. That's what it means sometimes. Sometimes this causes people to lose faith or confidence in God or church, but we need to realize God is always working for us and not against us. So God is saying, I want you to uproot everything. Leave your farm and your home and everything and your business and everything there and get to another place. We need to understand that they didn't lease their property out. It's like uproot and go. Look at sometimes we need to stay, take a step back and look at God's goodness and the provision in a situation. When we're going through some of these things, we need to notice God is doing and revealing and demonstrating things at times, and we need to understand what it is. You know, I've been teaching in Darfield, anything in the kingdom of God that we can live without, we will. Anything in the kingdom of God that we can live without, we will. That's human nature. We can break it down another way. We can say we fill up our lives with things that have no power or authority attached to them. And if we can do that, we will. We can break it down to another thing and say if we can live without God, we will. Everything in the kingdom of God is supernatural. It is for this world, but it's not of this world. So it doesn't come from this world, but it's for this world. That's the kingdom of God. Bringing kingdom down here on earth. Everything that God has given unto us and establishing it and working it here in our environment, in our community, in our business and around their lives. That's it. But if we can get away without needing it, we will. People just do that. Because there seems to be this cost, this, well, I've got to discipline and give myself to this, but I've got to do this, 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 and this, and tag God on the end, and then he drops off a few times, and we get busy doing this. And so everything else is more important than actually hearing what God's saying and actually going after what God is actually showing us. And so, you know, we think, oh, no, we're not into that, but actually we are into it more than you think you are. And if you can get by without needing something of the kingdom of God, you will. If you can survive without it, you will. There's no doubt in my mind. Everything in the kingdom of God is supernatural, as I said. It's for this world, but not seen of it. Prayers are unseen, but they can be felt. We just had a testimony with Simon, rung up desperate. We know he was having fits and whatever, and temperature, and you know, and his life had multiple, actually. Ended up in hospital five or some time, and Simon texted me going from the prison. He was desperate, you know, and so I rallied about five or six people, and we just prayed, boom, there and then, for half an hour, nonstop, going for it. And, you know, Simon texted me, said, man, I could see, he said the words, don't know if he meant to put that word in, see the visible change that was happening in me while I was driving there. See, it's not actually seen, but it can be felt. It's the same with the demonic. You can't see the demonic, but you feel it when it comes against you. When it's sitting on you and that, it's not of this world, but it's for this world. The kingdom can be seen in the fruits of the Spirit, can be seen in the gifts of the Spirit, can be seen in God's goodness and provision and favor or blessing. The kingdom can be seen through revelation or just God's grace on our life. Yet so often we don't seek or pursue these things unless we have need of them. So this woman hears the word of God. This is what I want you to do. Are we going to respond or not? Verse 2. So the woman did as the man of God instructed her. She took her family and settled in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. This is a huge upheaval and an inconvenience for this woman. But she obeyed. Not her people, not her culture. Many of they're not people that embrace anything of God. How many of us, think about this, how many of us are willing to pack up everything and move away for 7 years? Wherever. No promise of ministry, no promise of greatness is just where you need to be, because that's where God says you need to be, out of this place, and you just need to be somewhere else. There's no great, amazing direction there from God. I want you to go to such and such a place, and there I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have a great ministry. It's just like, no, you need to get out of this place and go to another place. Well, where? Find a place and go there. Some of us would say, yes, I would do that, except it's a prophecy over your life. And there's nothing attractive about where God is sending you. Being obedient to the Lord is always, though, for our good, even if it doesn't feel like it. But it often means huge change. I just want us to observe what's going on. I'm not telling you you have to do a lot of these things. I just want to show you something, what's going on in this woman's life and what the response to what God is saying. She has all this land. She has a farm, her business, or whatever. She leaves it behind, which means her source of income is being left behind as well. We don't think about this. That's her income. She's going to make nothing from this land. And as we get down there, you'll see she made nothing from this land. She's lost her husband some time ago. The Bible doesn't say when. She will have servants and laborers because they worked on the farm. They were there when her husband was on the farm, the Bible says, prior to this. They were reasonably wealthy sort of people, and they're leaving everything. She'll take them with her. Maybe she'll tell them to go and find another job. The Bible doesn't say. She has a good life. She has money. She has all she needs, and God says, leave it all behind. So now she's leaving everything that she knows that is comfortable and good behind, and she's living in a foreign land, people with people that are not her people. There's no future there for her or her son. She has to trust God in this place. They're just waiting out the famine and time to go past. 7 years out of her life, doing nothing really, achieving nothing, just waiting out famine. Just in a place of spiritual barrenness, wilderness, nothing seems to be happening. It's like, I was too want to waste 7 years of my life. She was old when she had her son. She was too old to have children. Elisha says, this time next year you'll have a son. Don't say that to me, man of God, she says. Promise something that can't happen. She was old when she had this son. The son's now, I think, I would say, I don't know how old he would be, 6, 7, 8 years of age, might be a bit older. So she is older now. She is older. Who wants to leave a place that is home when they are old and do nothing with their life for 7 years? Think about this. I want us to look at this woman's life was no different to our life. We read it and we can jump ahead and we miss a lot of the stuff that really is going on in this woman's life. It's like when you get older, 7 years is a long time to be doing nothing with your life. If you're 70, you don't want to wait until you're 77, coming 78 before you pick your life up again. It's like I haven't got that much time in my life. When you're 30, you don't want to waste your life. 37 before you start doing anything. Who wants to waste 7 years of their life? And when you've got everything going for you and you're comfortable and things are working for you and God says, no, you need to get up and you need to move. It's like, well, actually, I think I might just stay here and weather this out. I've got a bit of money. It wasn't that they were poor. God says you need to move. This woman has a son, a miracle son. Her inheritance and the next generation need to understand her son is watching and listening. The woman is demonstrating to her son, who is the next generation, what it means to obey and do what God is asking of us. Older people, mums and dads here today, the next generation is watching and listening. How are you responding when the word of the Lord comes to you? What is your response when you know God's speaking to you about some things? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to do something radical when God actually asks us to do something radical? Or do we hold to what we know is safe? Are we actually shutting down the example that I was actually talking about with Danny? Her grandfather went out and did some amazing things. It's been an inspiration in their family. And for that to come again, it's like, yes. It's like, are we leading our children? Are we showing them that when God says, this is what we need to do, even though we don't understand it, and we don't know what's going on in our life, and we can't comprehend it, and it doesn't make sense, and we don't like it, and it's not good for us in the natural to do this. There's nothing beneficial about what this woman had to do other than she's going to live. Famine took a lot of people out in these days. They couldn't go down to McDonald's. They planted it in the ground. When you can't plant anything in the ground, you've got to look at how you're going to survive. You could say, well, why didn't God just do the miracle provision? He's been a miracle working God for this woman. Why can't he just stay and the oil keeps flowing out of the jar and there's flour. And every time she goes to scoop, there's more flour in there. God did this other times. Why can't he do that now? Because he says, I want you to move. I don't want you to stay where you are. Some people need to hear that today. God doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to move spiritually in yourself. He wants you to be an example for the next generation. This son is a miracle son. This son is her inheritance. This is what's going to carry on. It's like God gives us something, a seed that is to grow, and we're to pass it on. It wants to go on and on and on. That's what God's all about. God's not about now. He sent his own son for, not just for himself or that Jewish nation at the time, it's for all mankind. So God wants our life to actually have an impact on the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And for us to be able to look up and say, wow, you know, my dad did this, my granddad did this, and I want to do that. The Lambournes have an amazing inheritance because of their grandfather, Tony, and what he did in Africa, and going out there and doing some things. You know, it's an inheritance, you know, that actually doesn't mean you have to go step into that, but he's actually released something in the spirit realm to step into that actually I can step it. It's at your door to actually be able to step into and do some amazing things. It sits over a family. And we all say, well, I wish my father was like that or my grandfather or whatever, da, 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 da. I mean, I had to rise up and conquer a lot of stuff that was in my dad's life. I had to overcome it so that my kids don't have to deal to that stuff. To open up some doors. It doesn't matter where you are in the path. It's like if there's nothing, you be the person. So she's got a son who's watching and listening, demonstrating. The woman needs to fit into this foreign land and do community well. Her son will be listening to her conversation. Is she going to be negative about the situation God has placed her in? Are some of our comments about where we are at, are they negative? Are they things that are actually people that are listening and saying, well, they're not getting inspired about what's going on in your life because it's not God? We talk about this, Steve Poner and Mike and I. It's like we're not falling into the snake pit. If somebody wants to go and do whatever and go all cranky and septic about something, it's like let them go all septic about it. It's like God's got business to do, so we're going to focus on the positive. We're going to focus on what God has already prophesied over and said he's going to do. It's like we'll see the document stamped. Instead of being a visa, they'll say resident of New Zealand. When one door closes, God's opening up another door that's even better. And we've got to look at some of these things. And you're thinking, wow, you know, you could sit there and think, we're so close, and we were so close. Like it was actually a given, but it all swung on one day. You know, but God says, that's because I've got something better. But then it says, you know, there's a cost. Are we prepared to pay the cost? So we're going to have to front it, and it puts things to the test. It's like, and you can get all septic about something, and it's like, now this is going to cost us a hang of a lot of money. It's like, it's worth it. Is it worth it? Are we going to step? Are we going to put action? You know, it's good to have faith, but sometimes you've got to have works. We've got to put something to our faith. If we believe God's doing some things, if God's saying, this is who I want, then go after it. She knows this is the will of God. God's telling her. What if the best is about to come after the season you're in? So often we make peace within the place we live. We justify our life, but we know God has much more. Too often we make peace within the place we live. We justify our life, and we know God has got so much more. Good word there today, Ben. I want us to see God's hand and blessing in our lives. Rapids aren't always the best place, but it's where the smoothest rocks are. I want us to see how much we need God to watch out and over us. I want us to see the role faith plays in our life. For us to allow the kingdom of God to be established and accessed through us for those around about us. For our natural reasoning to be gone or to be diminished, and our spiritual awareness to be operating. It's not life that dictates who we are or how we feel. It's how we see life and whose eyes we view life through. Verse 3, after the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines 7 years later, and she went to see the king about getting back her house and her land. She's lost everything. She's come back to it, and it's not hers anymore. It's been confiscated. She listened to the word of the Lord, and she has lost everything. I remember John Steele got it in the ear one day. This guy went septic on him. He said, I've obeyed and listened to your prophetic words, and you have totally wrecked my life. This man meant every word that was coming out of his thing, you know. This woman can take the same thing. This woman can take the same attitude. It's like, I listened to your prophetic word. I listened, you told me to go, and now I come back after 7 years. I've got nothing. I've had to live down there, and I've got nothing. I have lost everything because I listened to you, Lord. Think about it. Some of our situations that we are in, it's like, well, I listened to the word of the God, and now look where I am. Got me in a place where I've got nothing. Well, join the club. I had everything when I lived down south. I didn't need anything. I was totally freehold. I had money in the bank. Bit of a reverse situation. Dumbest decision I ever made coming up here. Financially, it is. The dumbest decision I ever made. You see? But sometimes God wants you in a certain place. God wants you in a certain place. She has obeyed God, but she's lost everything. What if you acted on a prophecy and lost everything? You acted on a prophecy and you lost everything. The king has confiscated her house and her land because she obeyed the word of the Lord. What would be our response to God at this point? Disappointment, disillusionment, hurt, resentment, not going back to that church again, da-da-da-da-da and on. See, it's not the king's fault that she abandoned everything. He never told her to go. So why would he give it back to her? He never advised her to go. He stayed. He went through it. Other people stayed and went through it. She abandoned it. What would be our response to the person who gave the word? I want us to see that God always knows the future, that we don't. Faith trusts and believes God. Faith lives in the future. Reasoning focuses on the now. based on the past. Reasoning focuses on the now, based on the past. So we look at what's happened. We look at things that happened to other people's lives. If I go and do this, we reason everything out. This is a bad decision. Faith lives in the future for the things that you can't see. A miracle, a healing, a divine moment has no human reasoning or comprehension attached to it. God lives outside of what the human mind can comprehend or understand. The word of God wasn't, you will lose everything. The word was, remove yourself from the place you are now in. Remove yourself from this place that you are now in. The word of the Lord was not, you are going to lose everything. Sometimes we need to look at that. What was the word of the Lord? And we get all distorted and we look at things that are happening and we hear it's just like, oh, God promised this. Did he promise that? What was actually said? Are we reading things that aren't said? Are we responding to things that were never said? Because that's what we wanted to happen. Don't make peace with what you've lost. We are getting back everything. Let's say it. We are getting back everything. God is going to restore everything I have lost, Mark. God is going to restore it all. Might be a bit of renovating on the way, but God's going to restore. That's what God was speaking to Mark about this morning. You had this. All of these things have happened. It's like, get back there. Nothing's lost on the journey, Mark. The 7 years always plays a purpose. I found this. Nothing is wasted in God. Like, you learn things, Zurich. You learn things on the journey of life that God actually will use in you. Makes you a better person. Makes you a better person, James. James was blunt and whatever, and like I used to be. See, thinking, James is going to, boy, this is going to be an interesting journey for James. See, James has got an amazing pastoral heart. You wouldn't notice it sometimes, but God's going to keep building that. He's very caring. He's actually got a very, very tender and a very, very soft heart. How do I know that? Because God showed me. So I don't need to ask James or study him. I just know that's what's there, you know. He's just got to learn how to do things differently. And he's learning. And he's learning that he can't trust everybody. You care about everybody, but you can't trust everybody. The devil comes to rob. He's a thief, you see. He wants to kill and destroy. And here God has given you every dream, every prophecy, every ministry, every gifting, every God-given inheritance. Verse 4, as she came into the inn, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done. I love this. That's what an amazing passage. Tell me some great stories about the great things Elisha has done. Testimonies are powerful. The king is sitting there saying, Elisha, tell me some, to Gehazi, tell me some great things that Elisha has done. He wants to know. See, testimonies are powerful. They are needful. It's important to rehearse who God is and what he does. Why? Because this king needs to know he can call on God when God's required. People need to know. People in the golf club need to know. That when they're in trouble, come and ask Wayne and Wayne will pray for you. God can heal. So I got to give the testimonies. I got to give the stories. You know, I've cleared the whole golf club twice with a couple of stories and a couple of statements and boom, and everybody's gone. It's like too much. Too much. You know, they had a meeting about me that I didn't even know and they were going to ban me from the club. And then someone rung up and said, they've had a meeting about you. They've decided not to ban you, but they're thinking about stopping you coming inside the building. You can play on the course, but you can't come inside the building. Honest, this is all true. You see, because what was actually happening was I was challenging a spirit in the establishment. You challenge the establishment. I mean, I love Donald Trump because he's just making a... He is just a pig in mud. And he is enjoying stirring up everything that needs to be stirred up. But he's actually, what he's actually doing is he's actually changing the corruption that's been in the establishment for a long, long time. Doesn't mean he says dumb things. Doesn't mean that he doesn't say dumb things. Kings and people alike need to know they can turn to God and trust God. Are we ready with an answer? Because tell me some great stories. So that's the power of a testimony. Because it's real and people are sitting there. So it's like, that happened? Yeah, that's happened. It's like, can that happen for me? Yeah, that can happen for you. It's like, you need to let me pray for you. You need to let me pray for you. When somebody's not into God at all, when they're far removed from God, it's like, but you still need to let me pray for you. I'm here. Let me pray for you. He hasn't let me pray for him yet. I'll see how he's going next week. He's still hoping there's nothing too bad. They can hack it all out. It's like, well, we can deal to that. I'd love just to see the lump go down. Let me pray for the lump to disappear. And Gehazi was telling the king, verse 5, about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life. At that moment, at that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. Look, my lord, the king, Gehazi exclaimed, it's like a fairy story book, it's getting excited. Here is this woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life. Woo, is that true? The king asked her. And she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything she had lost was restored to her, including the value of any crops that had been harvested during her absence. Everything. Isn't that amazing? God never said, you're going to lose everything. He said, you need to remove yourself from this place for 7 years. Pick up your stuff and go. There is a cost, there is an upheaval. But sometimes in the midst of when we have lost everything, we get the wrong attitude comes into our heart. And we blame and we kick against God and we kick against people and we kick against our parents and we kick against whoever else, the establishment. We blame somebody else for all of our loss. When actually what we could do is have it all. Have it all. Because God is not a person who takes away. He's a person who adds. He's building. He's establishing. He's planting within you a future, a purpose, and an inheritance. I love the story. The woman has no name. The great Shunammite woman. She's had two miracles already. Her husband was old. They could have no children. She bare a son. Then the son died. Aneurysm. Sore head. Got a pain in my head. He dies. She goes and finds Elisha. Demands that he comes back. Sends a servant. Don't want the servant. I want you, God. Come back to this house and bang, healed. Everything's going good. Husband dies off. Son's supposed to take over everything. That's what happened in those days. Son's supposed to inherit everything. Elisha comes and says, you need to move. Leave everything, come back. All of this is her son's. It's like, am I going to lose all my son's inheritance? This is all for him. It's like, we've got nothing now. We've got nothing. Remember, the son is still watching, still listening, still observing. And he sees his mum go to war to fight for what is hers. Petition the king. So we need to petition the king. We need to say, Lord, I need this restored. I've heard this dream. I mean, I walk around here sometimes up in Darfield. The words that I hear spoken over and I walk around them. I'll declare them over the place. Sometimes I have some humdingers. You get in that place. And prophesy and speak it, declare it, reminding God that this is what he said. We have to do that. What over our life, what was given us, what we know is ours. I'm getting everything back. Say it with me. I'm getting everything back. Let's say it again. I'm getting everything back. God is going to restore everything I have lost. Is that right, Rosalie? Going to renovate and restore. Renovate and restore. Everything back. That's what the word of the Lord was this morning. I'm just adding my wee bit. I'll leave all of this here. I've got a whole lot of stuff here I wanted to say here, but I just want to close with one scripture. It's in Luke 18, 1-8. Listen to this. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. You get people like that. A widow of the city came to him repeatedly saying, just like this woman we just read about, a widow of the city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Give me justice. Restore to me what is mine, what has been taken. The judge ignored her. This is Jesus telling his disciples a story. He wants them to understand something. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Know the feeling. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with constant requests. And all the husband said. Then the Lord said, there's something in the Bible about a dripping tap. And the Lord said, learn a lesson. A woman was going to play a shot yesterday. And I quoted something out of the Bible to her. And I said, actually, there's a little book. And there's a saying in this little book. And I quoted this saying to her. And she went up to play her shot. It was just a wee short one, going to play it up onto the green. And I says, I'm waiting for you to dust your book off and turn up in church. And she looked at me. And she put her head down to play again, and she totally duffed her shot. And she chased me for a wee bit with her club. And she said, she says, I knew you are getting inside my head. I said, well, I'm still waiting for you to dust off that book and come to church. Because I know God's got a call on her life, you see. She's a very wealthy woman. They're doing all right. But it's like there's a call of God on her life, you see. So I'm calling her out while we're playing. And I didn't leave it there. I kept talking away all the way around. I was needling her. We did. I won. She lost. I won 2 massive chickens. I won a block of chocolate. I won a heap of money. I won free drinks. And I won a golf ball yesterday. That's pretty good. I just about won everything. Telling Seth. Seth's ringing me up saying, come down, dear. Come down, or Nikki was, or somebody was. Virginia was ringing me up saying, come down for tea. It's like, no, I've got old tea here. Sometimes we've got to ask people some things and poke some things out there, you know, and it's not being rude, but it's actually, you know, when poking away at people, you've got to get them to respond. And so, the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you justice to his... God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Hammer away, Mark. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, so you might get what you want, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? And the Lord said, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Don't make peace with what you've lost. Hammer away. Nag away. Petition God. God's looking for faith. Say, I'm getting everything back. I'm getting everything back. God's going to restore everything I've lost. The key to this passage is faith. The evidence of things not seen. Close with this verse. By faith we understand in Hebrews 11:3. That the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. In other words, We see a whole world out here. It was all formed by what we couldn't see, not by what didn't exist. The kingdom of God is real and it exists. And faith is the thing that taps into that, that brings the kingdom of God here into reality. It's not of our world, but it's for this world. But it's for this world. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God's speaking to our hearts this morning, and I'm just going to pray a prayer, and we're going to go, but I want us to understand this morning that it's not just a story. It's like some of the things that we go through don't really make sense, but God's forming some stuff in us. God's building us and growing us and helping us to see things. Don't get caught up with all the distractions round about. Don't be looking at all of the things. Rosalie was talking about that today. You know, if you want to be dragged down, you know, and get, look at what's going on inside. Just like, whoa, I'm in a mess. Look around the world. Yeah, everything's distractions. Look up and you'll see things a wee bit differently. And so it's really important that we understand that what we're going through is actually good things. The enemy will try and steal your dreams and the prophetic words and your giftings, your ministries, your call on your life and all of those sort of things. He will try and steal them away while you're going through things. That's what he's going to try and do. God's not saying over anyone here today, you're going to lose everything. He's not saying that. God's not interested in taking everything away. He's actually interested in looking after you. He was actually doing a good thing for this woman. Only thing was, it caused a huge upheaval. And then she had to come back and pursue it. Temporarily, it looks a disaster. And sometimes we're at that point, you know, and I think Nikki spoke about this, you know, when you're on the threshold. That's where Python lives. He is allowed there. Every gift of God is without repentance. That's in the demonic realm as well. Satan did not create music. God created music. But God put the pipes in Satan. So there's more things said in music about rebellion, about suicide, about sex, about hatred. You can say whatever you like in music. There's more things said in music than anything else. So God didn't create that, but Satan uses it. Why? Because that's his gift. The pipes are within him. God did not take music away from Satan. But he did not create, Satan did not create the music. But he uses that, you see. And so there are certain demonic things that sit, they have a right to be there. But they don't have the authority to stop you from crossing over and stepping into some things. And sometimes, and I'm saying this because there's a lot of prayers been coming our way just of recent. We've been praying for a lot of people. People have been texting me. I think I've been flicking some on to you about some of the, about some more, some others I haven't been flicking on to you, but we're just praying about a whole lot of stuff because there's a whole lot of people going through a whole lot of stuff at the moment. But it's about understanding some things. Some things that we are going through, some demonic stuff that we are encountering is not always a negative thing if you understand the feeling and the emotion attached to what is actually happening, and then it actually begins to serve you. So every time you encounter this feeling, this dizziness, this whatever, it's like, what is it you're bumping up against? When you're around certain things, you know, and that's what I've done in my life. And I thought things were taking me out for a long time until I found out when I was in a certain atmosphere, when I was around certain people doing certain things, that I actually felt certain things. I sat down with Ben Gullery about some of this stuff, just talked to him. He says, this makes sense to me, Wayne, now. Because he's around certain things, it's like, boom, and then I feel this. And it's just like, and so it actually can actually serve you. And we think, well, we need to bind the enemy. We need to whatever. It's like sometimes binding the enemy is useless, actually, because it has a right to be there. What we have to do is shift some things or cross over and understand how it works and then just go about dismantling it. Just dismantling it. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. You've given no names, Father, Lord, so we can take all of this upon ourselves, Father. Lord, that we can be this woman. We can be this son. Lord, and we just thank you, Father, Lord, for just showing us that There is things in life that don't seem right, don't seem fair. There seems things in life where there is loss suffered, where we think something has been taken away, but actually you're placing something greater inside. Just felt to say this right in the middle of that, Ben and Bex. Your son is alive. Your son is alive. He's not dead. He's actually alive. Just felt God wanted to say that to you. Sometimes we look at a loss, you see, because we don't have, but actually he's rejoicing. Yeah. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a person who restores everything. That you are a one, Father, Lord, who comes and equips and empowers. Lord, that you're able, Lord, to give us a strength and an understanding, Lord, through situations, Lord, which seem to be a negative, but actually, Lord, they're a positive. And Father, we just thank you right now that as we've seen the story today, Lord, that we are looking at our life a little different. Lord, that we can understand that the things which seem to be negative, if we can embrace the change, if we can understand what it is you're doing, Lord, we can see this whole thing different. You are restoring. You are refurbishing. Lord, you are shaping, smoothing off, creating something amazing, Father. However you're doing it, blowtorch, water, Father, Lord, circumstances, whatever. Father, you are shaping and building and molding. Lord, you're causing something, Father, Lord, Lord, that is beautiful to be happening in our life because you're creating a bride without spot or wrinkle. And Father, we understand that there is times of pain and disappointment, Father, but Lord, we just pray right now for strength and an understanding, Lord, to see in the midst of our difficulties, Lord, that you are at work and that you will restore. Restore. Lord, I just speak, Lord, restoration over every life here today. Restoration over Zurich, Father. We say restore, restore. Father, Lord, we just claim afresh, Lord, inheritance. Lord, the great things that you are doing and have been doing, Lord, in our generations. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.